Please be seated. I bring you greetings from Pikes Peak Metropolitan Community Church in Colorado Springs. They said I could come visit y'all, but you can't keep me. So you have to send me back. It's really good to be back here. I love seeing the new building. I hadn't been here to see this yet, so it's really beautiful. Well done, good and faithful servants. Good job. All in God's time, right? All in God's time. Yeah, so just wanted to give you a little heads up. I know not everybody has known me, so it's been a while since I've been here, but I did just want to let you know, my wife Judy couldn't come. She was just diagnosed with breast cancer. Thankfully, it's stage one, so we're really grateful for that. But it precluded her from being able to come join me this weekend. And so, but I say all that to say we covet your prayers and thank you for all that support that you'll be sending up towards Colorado on our behalf. So anyway, and she was very sad to miss it this morning. And one other thing I just want to, you know, I haven't been here for a while, so I just want to say, when I'm preaching in Colorado, I sometimes ask questions and I actually want a response back. So I'll let you know when that comes, okay? You can talk to me. So I don't know how it is here, so it's been 4 years. So let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together, to be reminded that we are your people, to be filled with your love, to be reminded that you are God, and we are not. And for that, we are grateful. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits to the message you have for each one of us here today. In your many holy and precious names, and in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I invite you to imagine this scene with me. It's about noon. It's in the Mediterranean. It's the hottest part of the day. Peter, one of the original, the OG gang, I guess, is one of the original disciples. He's hungry. He is ready for lunch. Now, remember, there was no electricity, so there was no air conditioning at that time. And they also often lived with their animals in their houses with them, so I can't quite imagine how that would be, how heat might like increase that smell and togetherness you might have in a house with animals and people. But I imagine that I too might have done what Peter did and go to the roof of the house for a bit of fresh air. So he goes up to the roof. He's probably hoping to catch whatever cool breeze might be blowing through town that day, looking for a chance to catch his breath. I imagine he'd been pretty busy. He had been with Jesus, after all those years, almost from the beginning. He'd been through everything with Jesus, through his trial and his death and his resurrection. And now he and the other disciples were clear that they were to continue the message, to share the good news that Jesus brought, a message of love and grace and hope and healing. They were schooled in the way of love. That's what Jesus had taught them. They were to heal the sick, bind up the brokenhearted, share the love of God with others. And so Peter was traveling around, doing the disciple stuff, healing people, telling people about Jesus, and baptizing those who wish to be baptized. So he's on the roof of this house, and while he's waiting for those who are preparing lunch for him, he has this vision. This vision where the heavens opened and this sheet comes down. It's like a large sheet and it's held in the corners by something. And in this sheet, there are all kinds of four-legged animals, reptiles, wild birds. And a voice commanded Peter, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, no, I've not eaten anything impure or unclean. I'm not going to start now. Well, okay, maybe not quite exactly like that, but it's sort of like, I paraphrased. So let's pause here for a moment, because what's going on? Just a warning, I'm going to quote Leviticus. It's not our favorite book of the Bible, but I encourage you to pick it up and read it, because there's a lot of crazy stuff in there. There's a lot of great stuff in there, too, and you'd be surprised what kind of wonderful things are in there. Anyway, so Leviticus, that's where the laws are that God gave to the Israelites, and laid out all kinds of laws about what animals Jewish people could eat, how the food would be prepared, all those kinds of things. So Leviticus, and a few other things that might affect our community particularly, but that's a different sermon. So Leviticus 11:27 states, "Of all the animals that walk on 4 feet, the ones that walk on their paws are unclean for you," meaning unclean for you, the Israelites, "as well as various lizards and reptiles and skinks and geckos." So Peter, having been an observant and faithful Jew, had never eaten any of those kinds of animals, and of course said so now to God. But the voice said to him, "Never consider unclean what God has made pure." Now, Peter experienced this 3 times with the linen coming down and the animals on it and this voice speaking to him. So it happens 3 times and then it disappears. Now, this was very confusing for Peter, I would imagine. He didn't know what to do, because this vision went against everything he'd ever been taught, even by Jesus, because Peter said he had never eaten any of those animals. So that meant that whole time that he was with Jesus, he never ate anything like that. So what could this vision possibly mean? Well, it just so happened that shortly after this, 3 messengers showed up at the house where Peter was staying, and the messengers had been sent from a Gentile, a centurion, a leader in the Roman army, a very powerful and wealthy man, and they asked Peter to come see Cornelius, their master, and they told him the most remarkable story. They said that an angel had visited Cornelius and directed him to seek out Peter and hear what Peter had to say. So Peter decided, okay, I'll check this out. Who knows what's coming, but I'm going to go with you guys. They go to Cornelius's home, and when they arrived, Cornelius fell to the ground to honor him. And Peter pulled him up and said, no, I'm just a regular person just like you. There's no need to do that. Peter also said, because this is another one of the rules that they lived by, you know it's forbidden for a Jew to associate or visit with outsiders. However, God has shown me that I should never call a person impure or unclean. And so he listened to Cornelius' story. For Cornelius had also had a vision. An angel appeared to him and told him that God had heard his prayers and that God has seen his compassionate acts for his community, and then to also send for Peter. And through this experience of Peter and Cornelius and their conversation and time together, Peter became convinced that Cornelius truly had been visited by the Spirit of God. That Cornelius had had a spiritual experience not unlike his own on the roof. And Peter realized that God was telling him something very important. And he told everyone who was there, "I really am learning that God doesn't have favorites. God doesn't show partiality of one group over another." And so he invited Cornelius and the whole household, everyone who was there, to be baptized. And so they were that day. This is such an important story. As I said earlier, I moved from Austin, but I still have my allergies, so some things never change, right? One of the most important stories, I believe, in the whole Bible. And let me explain why. Peter was a good Jew. He was observant. He was faithful. He was committed. He did all the right things until he started following Jesus, right? But even then, he was still a Jew, and they all were, including Jesus. But Jesus and the whole movement inspired by him ran afoul of the religious authorities and the other authorities, the Roman authorities, and Jesus ultimately was executed, assisted by the religious authorities, who found Jesus' message unorthodox and dangerous. And so after that, the disciples had to figure out what to do. What do you do when the leader and the teacher you love the most, the person you learned the most from, who transformed your life forever, what do you do when that leader is gone? Do they follow their tradition? Or learn to trust their own experience of God? They had several choices available to them, and ultimately many decided to carry on the message of Jesus, to continue his ministry. But they started running into problems. Many of the people who followed Jesus were Jewish, and certainly the disciples who were closest to him were. And of course, Jesus himself was Jewish. So did that mean that everyone who wanted to follow Jesus, did they also have to become Jewish? This became a huge debate in those earliest years after Jesus' life and death. Some believed that Jesus came only for the Jews, while others believed that Jesus came for other people too. But there were a few wrinkles in that whole plan, because, for example, observant Jews, if they were men, were circumcised. Would Gentiles who also wanted to follow Jesus, would they have to be circumcised? Kind of a big deal to figure out. Would they have to follow the same guidelines and laws about what food was clean and what was okay to eat and what food was not? All these kinds of things came up. Some people believed that, yes, anyone who wanted to follow Jesus had to become Jewish. Others did not. Do they accept non-Jews? Do they follow their traditions and what they've always been taught? Or do they trust their new experiences of God? And this is a crucial moment in that early church, because God breaks the rules. God had given the rules and the laws and the guidelines in Leviticus and other places in the Bible to the people of Israel. And yet, God broke those rules. Despite all of the years and learning and practicing and memorizing scripture and doing everything of what he believed he was supposed to do, Peter had a message from God that changed all of that. God said to Peter, "Do not consider unclean or defiled what I have made pure." So even these Gentiles, Peter, even these outsiders like Cornelius and his household, who you, as one of my chosen people, a Jew, who you might consider to be unclean, even these Gentiles are not unclean. Do not defile what I have made pure. So bring them into this movement. Teach them to live and to love as Jesus did. Help them to heal, and then send them out to help heal others. Help them share the news with others. And Peter trusted his own experience of God. He set aside what he had learned about outsiders from his tradition. He set aside all those years of careful practice and attention and prayer and devotion. And he trusted his own experience with God over everything his tradition had taught him. And Peter saw the Spirit moving through Cornelius and Gentile, and Peter knew that God's love and message was not just confined to observant Jews. So we have this beautiful story this lovely story of something that happened a long time ago. And it's easy to kind of keep it in a box far, far away that seems very disconnected perhaps to who we are, because we don't live by those same rules and dietary restrictions that the observant Jews did. And yet, many of us, some of us, not all of us, there are fewer and fewer that this happens, but we might have grown up in a church tradition or a spiritual tradition where we learned all kinds of things about what it meant to be a Christian, what to believe, how to act, what happens in communion, who can serve communion, who can preach, who can be a part of a church. And all of those things that we might have learned in other traditions, there's nothing necessarily wrong with them per se, except there's a few wrinkles, because sometimes those rules and those guidelines and those restrictions and those doctrines and those covenants, they collide with God's own mission, God's own purpose for the world, God's love for the world. And so I want to reflect for a moment, and here's the non-rhetorical question part, okay? Who are the Gentiles for us today? Who might we consider to be beyond our ability to love, or be beyond the ability of God's community of the faithful to love and incorporate into our community? Who might some of those categories, or some of those, not, don't name names. Let's protect those people. But what are some of those things that might come to mind?
Anybody.
Anybody, for sure. And there might be some divisions that we're making in our heads about who might be beyond the pale, right? So who might that be? Trans people. Despite our stated commitment to the LGBTQ community, sometimes that welcome and that hospitality for trans, genderqueer, non-binary folks is less robust than for other folks, right? Who else might be Gentiles for us today? The radical right. And maybe even not the radical, maybe the not so radical right, right? Yeah. Enough said. Other people, who else might be Gentiles for us today? Southern Baptists. Yeah. Could be. At the earlier service, someone said politicians. But we won't name names. Criminals, yes. People who are incarcerated. It's one thing when they're, you know, maybe we feel safer having people, someone, you know, we don't really know, we don't understand, they're locked up, they're behind bars. But what happens when they come back to the community? Do we keep them away from us, or do we offer a community of hope and healing for those folks? Other people, who else might be Gentiles? Ooh, immigrants and homeless. Those who would wish harm on other people. Yeah. Muslims, people who seem to be a different faith, who might wear different kinds of religious garb that we don't understand, that might be scary for us. We might not understand that. So there's all these ways that we make divisions among us. There's ways that we say, this is in, that is out. Whether we do it purposely or not, there's just all these decisions, all these ways that we make these divisions. And I think this message today from the story of Peter and Cornelius and the vision that he had, It's a very challenging story, even for us in MCC, because we pride ourselves on being very welcoming, very hospitable. And yet, there are still those people, there are still communities, there are still categories of people or religious belief or faith or who knows. Some things that we're probably not even willing to admit out loud because it's not politically correct. These things cut very deep, can be sometimes even an unconscious belief that these people are other than ourselves. And we think, well, and we don't say this out loud because it's not politically correct. But if I can't love them, sometimes we believe this, if I can't love this person, well, maybe God can't love that person either, or those kind of people either. And I want to share this quote with you from Elizabeth O'Connor. She wrote, "This is what Christianity is all about, becoming lovers. The mission of the church is just loving people. And our confession, what is our confession? It is that we do not know how to love. Until we have made that confession, there is nothing to be learned. We cannot even be a beginner with the beginners. And in the school of Christianity, there is nothing else to be but a beginner." Friends, the story today from Peter and Cornelius and how God pushed Peter out of his safe comfort zone of everything that he knew, pushed him out to love people, to include people in a movement that he did not expect. We learn God doesn't follow our rules. God doesn't follow any of the rules. God can make whatever rules God wants, right? We also see and we learn that God doesn't have favorites. Or perhaps I should say, we are all God's favorites. And maybe when we start living into and out of that truth, who knows what could happen? I believe that God will surprise us with the possibilities as God explodes our neat and tidy ideas and categories and rules and divisions that we make between ourselves and other people. And God will surprise us again and again and again as we learn to open our hearts ever more, learning what it means to love people and the world in the expansive and crazy generosity of God. And that is something for which we will all be beginners our whole life, and each day we get to begin again and try anew. And for that, I am truly grateful. Amen.